Jake, good to see you.
A pleasure.
As always.
Yeah, absolute pleasure, mate. You all right?
I am all right, yeah.
What's been going on
I
with you?
I am all right.
Keeping your head down, working
keeping my head
hard.
Down, working, trying to be healthy.
Oh, yeah, you're looking good as well.
Oh, cheers, mate.
You look like you've shed a lot. You've shed a lot of the weight.
Skin? Shed a lot of the weight.
Sorry,
shed a lot of the weight.
So that's what you had
shed a lot of the weight. The weight. The weight. Not shed a bit of weight. No, the weight. We all know
the
what the weight was.
Slip of the tongue. There wasn't the weight. There's not been a looming sort of like presence of the weight.
You know what? Someone else has stuck with me up. When we did the Sam Thompson episode, and we did the three-person pyramid. We were sort of trying to do it by, well, obviously Sam was going at the bottom because
he's
like stacked, a man.
Didn't he? Yeah.
And then it was me and you going, who's heavier and who's lighter?
Yeah.
I said, I was 80 kg. You said, you're 70. And I was like, oh, you're 10 kg lighter than me. And you went, yeah. And you went, yeah, and I'm taller than you.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's. I didn't say it as a dig.
You
I just said, oh, that's interesting.
Not a dig, but you were like alarmed. You were like, God, I'd be worried about
I'm
that.
I'm worried about how skinny I am. I need to put a bit more.
It's not fair. Like, because I reckon I probably eat better than you. And I drink filtered water and I have about 2.5 litres, 3 litres about a day.
Well, can I just say, the filtered water thing's got nothing to do with anything. I don't know why he's just throwing that in, just as a little pat on the back for
you. I bet you don't drink water. How many litres of water do you think you have a day?
Not a lot.
Less than a litre, yeah, I bet. But 0.7 of a litre,
what you've done, you're honing in on the thing that you're doing. Oh, great that you're doing the water thing. That's great. Yeah. Don't think that's got anything to do with that. But I don't think you do eat very well, I have to say. I eat a lot better than you. I eat bad on these record weekends because we're partying a little bit.
No.
We're knocking about a bit, but for the
most part, 3 meals a day. Let's go for it. I tell you what, producer in the room, you can decide who wins each round. Best of three breakfast, classic breakfast.
Classic breakfast for me will be probably poached eggs,
leftover Domino's,
poached eggs. We can have a laugh about it, but you know that's what you had this morning. So poached. I'll probably have poached eggs, bit of salmon, bit of smoked salmon, and...
every day? That's not what you have every day.
So
you have when you're going to have a cat.
And sliced avocado. I probably won't talk it when you're doing your turn. I probably won't do that,
okay.
But it's up to you.
Right.
And then what will you have?
I'll have Greek yogurt or kefir, sort of gut yogurt, with blueberries and often kiwi and chia seeds.
And can I just say, that's a very recent thing. I think for the most part, you'll have a croissant.
I've been doing that.
Or cereal.
I've been doing that for about 4 months now.
Okay. Okay, lunch.
Liam wins breakfast.
Thank you.
Liam wins breakfast. Are you joking? I'm having high protein, good fat. Okay, that's up to you.
Egg on toast.
I didn't mention
that. I'm having egg on toast.
Do you know what the mad thing is?
Chia seeds beats egg on toast.
Mad thing is, I never mentioned toast. I never mentioned toast because I don't touch it. I do not touch toast. I don't want to make this what this is, but you love carbs.
Do lunch. I've not had a carb.
I will do lunch.
I've not had a bloody carb
breakfast. I'll have a sort of probably a falafel and hummus salad.
Bollocks.
I will do. A falafel and hummus salad or maybe like a chicken shawarma salad-y type thing, yeah.
Okay, chicken shawarma salad with falafel.
That's absolutely not what I said. Two different dishes, you can't combine them both to give yourself an edge.
What's also
brilliant is that I get to go first and he gets to just make up what he
has.
Go on.
So you're admitting that my one was healthier?
No.
Because you said, you made up a healthier
one. I don't think it is, mate. I think just having yogurt and open.
Do you want to let me do my lunch or do you just want to keep thinking about the defeat you had at breakfast?
I know what you're trying to do. You're trying to do the thing about I'm talking over you, but actually I was still...
You are talking over
me. We haven't had the chapter of you starting to do your lunch yet.
Okay.
Do your lunch.
2 egg omelette. Mushrooms, tomato, pepper, a bit of cheese.
Yeah.
Jake wins lunch.
Great.
You know what? You're producing it and you've put it to a tiebreaker and I respect
that. That's so...
But you know what my worry is?
Do you know what?
That's
one of the shittest things you've ever done, is put that down to him producing it. That's so
right.
Shit.
You know what
you're taking like a small little victory away from me like that.
Yeah, okay. One more.
Yeah.
One, what's your dinner? But I think I might lose on dinner.
At the moment, what I've been doing, it'll probably be often like a pasta dish, so yeah.
Well, it might be back.
It'll probably be brown pasta. I'll probably maybe, similar to what I made the other day, I might fry up some anchovies to give it a bit of salt, but also some omega-3 in there, some garlic, and then in goes some chotto tomatoes. And then, yeah, it might be broccoli one day, or it might be prawns another day, or, you know.
Yeah. I'll often do...
Be honest.
No, I will be honest. But, you know, it's different every night, but... Something we've done quite a lot lately. Homemade chips in the air fryer. So no oil, just sort of potato.
Got to have some oil to get it going. But that's
a little bit of spray oil, but that's it, in the air fryer. It's not like I'm not frying them or anything. It's all homemade, fresh potatoes. On that, I'll make a corn chili, which will have black beans.
Yeah.
It'll have corn mince, chopped tomatoes. We'll put pepper in it, put mushroom in it. And then the rest is just spices doing your work there and a bit of vegetable stock. What's wrong with stock?
What, stock cubes?
Yeah. Are they bad?
Just a lot of salt and additives and stuff.
Only half a stock cube.
That's fair enough.
I think Jake wins over the loaded fries.
Yeah, fair enough.
I eat better than you. So, our guests...
Yeah, but actually, what we should have done is done a point system for breakfast and lunch. Like, a point system. I think I would probably... I've scored more goals than you, but you've just got better results.
You do eat better than me. What I described, I probably do once a week. The rest of it's all shit.
That was a pointless exercise.
No. No, it was good.
That was actually quite a toxic thing I think we did there. I don't think that's a good thing to be trying to wallop who's eating healthier.
Yeah.
Cody Darla. Coming up.
I bet he eats healthy. I bet he eats really healthy. Yeah. Doesn't
he? He was keen for a pint.
He was very keen for a pint. Do you know what? He's a bloody good laugh, isn't he?
Oh, he's lovely.
He's one of those people that is just like effortlessly intelligent, but not in a way that is ever condescending.
Not in a way that makes you feel like an idiot. No. Sometimes you get an intelligent person around and you're going, oh, I feel like a bit of an idiot. I feel scared to speak here.
Do you think if you were intelligent, you'd be like that?
Well, you go, fuck yourself, you dick.
Look, you're going to enjoy the Cody Darler episode. It's not just quiz. There's not just funny moments. There's also some fucking interesting stuff from a completely different perspective through our normal episode. So you will enjoy this.
Our normal right-wing episode.
Yeah. To use his own catchphrase against him, will Cody be a quizzing genius? Or will he come across as a thicky dum-dum in front of all of his mates? Cody Darler, welcome to the team.
Hello. What a wonderful time.
I really hope we're not all of your mates. That'd be fucking sad. Sad-o! My God. I want to thank you for bringing very complicated subjects to a digestible level for me and my friends.
Yes. What did you say earlier? Digestible intelligentsia.
Yeah, you are the digestible intelligentsia. Cody, do you... you're a busy man. You're doing book tours. You're teaching the nation about current affairs. Do you have time to quiz?
I love a quiz. Mm. There, I live next door to a pub.
Right.
So every single Monday in the summer months, they do the quiz in the pub garden. My window is about 10 metres away from that pub garden. So every Monday, I'm kind of living quiz sort of by... What do you call that? Adjacent. I'm quiz adjacent.
What you're doing there, mate, is you're stealing a quiz.
Yeah, exactly.
That is not for you. That is for pub members in the garden who've probably paid about £2.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Refusing to contribute financially to keep the quiz industry going.
Yeah, it's true. And I can use my phone as well.
Fuck
no
it.
One sees. Yeah.
Burnham's Britain, mate. Burnham's fucking Britain we're living in. Fuck me.
If this is what the Burnham bounce is, I want nothing to do with it.
Jesus Christ. If Burnham's nicking quizzes, I want him out. God. Farage wouldn't nick a quiz, would he? Fuck me. What are you good at in quizzes? Obviously the current affairs stuff, I feel like, but I don't want to pigeonhole you with that.
Well, I know. Well, I think every time I think I'm good at a quiz subject, that subject comes up and I'm shit. So I'm like, I'm always like history, but I never get the history questions right. Current affairs, you know, answer Neil Kinnock every time. It's never Neil Kinnock. I don't. So I like.
Was Neil Kinnock going when you were in your lifetime?
No, that's not how the world works.
Yeah, but
I don't just have knowledge of things that have happened in my lifetime.
No. You said I like current affairs, but always put Neil Kinnock as the answer.
Okay, I guess I meant politics then. Politics.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'd say I would probably now say current affairs is my strong suit.
Yeah.
If it's stuff that's happened in the last week or so.
And what's the weak point?
Music and sport.
Really?
Really terrible. They're those are genuinely, I can't...
Well, I'll tell you what, Jake knows a bit about music. I know a little bit about sport. I reckon we're going to be a good team.
Not bad, yeah.
I think we're going to be a good team, yeah.
I don't know why this popped into my head. We had... Do you know the newsreader John Sargent?
Yes. He was on Strictly Come Dancing.
Yes, he was an old newsreader, a bit of a legend of the game. And he came on the Celebrity Chase when I worked as a question writer on that. And his question, because he always starts with an easy one... and his question was, in the 1980s hit by The Jam, where were they going? Were they going underground, overground, or were they going wombling free? As the joke answer, obviously it's get The Jam going underground. He put wombling free, he crashes out, storms off and goes, I told your researchers that I don't know pop music, okay?
I don't know why I've been asked pop current bloody popular music. I don't know it.
But
not only is it the Wombling Free bit, it's obviously the joke answer. But he's then said the 1985 hit by the Jam. That's too modern for me, mate.
But if you're under pressure there on telly,
that's another one you wouldn't have known. Under pressure, that'd have been too recent for him.
I guess the way that question is worded, no shade to you for writing it, but if I were in Panic Stations. And then I see an answer that is so clearly an outlier, and it's the first question. I'm thinking this is the easy one. Don't really understand the question. Mm. Wombling Free. Yeah, I sympathise. Yeah,
and also, he's ruined it for you because you were trying to get your Fanny Schmeller moment, weren't you?
He stormed off. He's kicked off. He's kicked off.
We'll cut that. You're going, well, I can't use that again. That's my Fanny Schmeller moment. You're going to get one Fanny Schmeller moment a series, and.
I remember you telling me that story. Like, you work hard, keep your head down, you'll get your Fanny Schmeller moment.
You'll have your Fanny Schmeller moment, mate. You will. You work hard, boy. You work hard.
Did you ever get there, or was that it?
I had a couple, but I think they might be deemed as.
Go on, what was your biggest one?
Deemed as transphobic now.
Oh, no.
The one that I had.
You do love your transphobic stuff.
I had, and it did make. Bradley fucking loved it, of course he did.
Yeah.
But it was an easy question. It was, what is Victoria's Secret? A. Perfume brand, B, fashion brand, or C, her name's actually Derek.
I like that. Yeah.
That's her secret.
I think that's transphobic.
That's not transphobic. It's all right.
Yeah, it's just a laugh, yeah. I think I vaguely remember it, but maybe it's just you've said it.
Genuinely, from the chase.
I feel like I do. I had
one as well, because you won't remember this, but when Trump was running for, this would be the probably first time, 2016.
Okay, my specialist subject now.
Yeah, there were so many people running for the Republican candidacy.
Oh, yeah.
And I was able then, as a result, because one of these is the right answer, to say who was running against Trump in 20, whenever it was. Was it A, Doe's Balls, B, Dem Plums, or C, D's Nuts? And Bradley had a good time with that.
That's good.
Because D's Nuts was genuinely someone who ran for office. Yeah, they probably had their own sort of Count Binface situation going on.
I love that. I love that question. That's a really good question.
Really, really can only ask that sort of at the time.
Was it more about getting a laugh off of Bradley, really? Was that what you're going for, really?
Get a laugh off of Bradley. Yeah. And then you sort of feel like you've had a good day at work. Yeah.
Did you ever break one of the chases?
No, but I'll tell you what. We recently had Paul Sinner on one of our live shows.
No.
Yeah, that's coming
full
out
full circle
soon.
Moment.
Yeah.
Full circle
the
moment.
The cinema, mate, he was so funny.
Yeah.
He was just coming out with zingers and zingers and zingers. Yeah.
Paul Zinger.
But, Have we got a team name? Because that's in the running for it. Yeah, what have we got for our team name, Cody?
Well, I like to name my quiz teams after my favourite actor, Quiz Ahmed. I normally go for. That's
nice. Done. There's not many takes on the quiz pun that we've not heard before. But
that's really nice.
Fantastic.
Oh, that's really nice. Diverse as well.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
And do you have an interesting fact for us?
I do have an interesting fact. An interesting fact I learnt just yesterday, which is 22% of the entire energy grid in Ireland.
Political.
Gets more political. Powers data centres. So the data centres in Ireland literally require 22% of the entire country's energy.
Wow. And will that be the case for every country in the world and their data centres?
Well, the more data centres you have, the more energy it takes out the grid. And I actually...
Yeah, I'm not that much of a ficky dum-dum, mate. Fucking hell. I'm aware that more data centres means more energy. That would seem quite self-evident.
We're thicky, thicky dums, but we're not thicky dums.
No, you don't need to double
that's,
up on.
That's the level we are. We're thicky dums.
Yeah, thicky dums. Yeah. But I've got another data centre fact that I'd like to throw at
you. You can never have enough, can you?
No, you can't. And then, more data centres, more facts. Let me tell you, the number of data centres is only going up. That's not the fact. I've got a fact to throw towards you in the form of a quiz question, which is, what is the area in Europe...
Hang on.
Which area of Europe has the highest density of data centres in the whole of Europe?
Which area?
Yeah.
The way you've worded it is making me think it's not a country.
I think it's going to be somewhere really... that feels really local. You know what I mean?
You think it might surprise us and be like Norfolk or something?
Something like that. Yeah. Something like that. Should we go Norfolk?
Yeah.
Norfolk?
Very close.
Really?
Slough.
Wow.
Slough has the highest number of data centres. There are so many that it's increasing the surrounding temperature by up to 9 degrees.
9 degrees?
Facts coming out my ass here about data centres. I've been 9 degrees? Yes.
Cody, that is absolutely horrific.
Crazy. The people of Slough are literally burning up in the middle of a heat wave. They did some analysis. 9 degrees Celsius the surrounding temperature can be increased by because the data centers emit so much energy.
But Cody, hang on. So when the UK's been having these heat waves,
yeah,
and everywhere's about 32.
It's about 44 degrees in Slough.
Slough?
Yeah, yes.
Slough's clocking in at 41.
Quite literally, yeah. There was an article in The Guardian about it. People in cafes being like, I'm going to fucking die here.
I wondered how long he'd bring up The Guardian.
Yeah. He's done it. I'm like the human embodiment of The Guardian.
Yeah. That is honestly mind-blowing. Yeah, and I will be a thicky-thicky dum-dum for a second. A data centre is where, you know, websites and, like, you know, places keep all their data?
Fantastic question.
Like, I don't really know.
It's mainly a big warehouse with just big computers. So they're housing computers that manage, that, you know, that like Netflix will be on there and all this stuff.
So all,
like,
the Netflix films and all your data is on there?
Yeah, well, this is the thing. Everyone thinks the internet is in the air.
It's, you know, not, it's talk about the cloud. Places, yeah.
It's literally physical places. So you could, I'm sure some people do know where it is, you could destroy the internet by going to, like, a massive shed.
Horrific. Normally I say, oh, that's my favourite fact I've heard, or that's my quirkiest, that's the most horrific fact we've had.
Yeah.
Well, it's a current affairs fact, isn't it?
Sorry, is that the most amount of data centres or the biggest data centres? It's the most amount of data in a cluster?
In a cluster, in Slough, correct.
But so in Ireland, are they're more spread out?
I imagine they're more numerous and spread out, yes. But the 22% energy grid thing, do you know who pays for that? The Irish people. The Irish people pay for that. It's boosting everyone's energy bills.
That is a fucking scandal.
It is. It's boosting everyone's energy bills by up to €600 a year, paying for these data centers.
A household is paying £600 a year more.
Yeah.
What is it? To pay for Google's data center.
Exactly. It's crazy. No one's talking about it.
I've got chills.
No one's talking about it.
I've got chills.
Well, you won't have those if there's a data center near you because they're so fucking hot.
Are we paying for Slough's data centers?
Do you want the complicated answer to this?
Split the difference.
Okay, so basically, we use oil and gas in our energy grid.
Yeah, go on.
Oil and gas is used in our energy grid. Yeah. We have renewables that can create loads of energy.
Mm.
If on a given day we can get by on 100% renewables, that means cheaper bills. However, if a little bit of oil and gas is in our energy grid, we pay the price of oil and gas, even if the whole grid is, like, most of the grid is being used for renewables. This is slightly complicated. Basically, the more energy we need, the less renewables can reach that level, and so we're relying more on oil and gas, which the price of which is going up because of world crisis. So basically,
that we do pay for.
Yeah.
God, fucking hell.
It's a mess, guys. It's a mess, and we must do something about it.
Okay, jeez. Well, let's do. We should do something about it.
A quiz?
We'll do the quiz first, then we'll sort it out.
Yeah, good start.
Quiz first.
Fucking
okay,
hell.
So normally we answer a quiz from a quiz master who's already established. They run a pub quiz somewhere in the country. But we did on the last episode before we took a break. If you remember, Jake, we put a call out to any non-quiz masters who wanted to try their hand at being a quiz master. See what they're made of. We can try it out first, sample it for them, give them a bit of a review to see if they've got what it takes. So this week,
we're struggling to get quiz masters every week.
Is that what's happening?
We framed it as we want to give you a chance.
It's a nice bit of producing, really, to go like, yeah, we're gonna quiz masters back off a bit. There's so many of you.
That's too many. Don't want them.
You could just back off a minute, mate, and just give some of the normal people a chance to come in and do it. So this is what we've got. So this week's quiz comes from a complete first timer, a quiz virgin, Lewis, L-E-W-Y-S, Luce, or Lewis?
L-E-W-I-S.
Y-S.
Lewis.
Is that Lewis? I've never seen that spelling of Lewis.
Lewis.
And we've got a quote here from Lewis. He says, I'm a keen quizzer and a Patreon.
Well done. Well done, Patreon.
It's been on pause for about 4 months. However, I have never...
That's the biggest scandal in the data centre, isn't it? Fucking hell, forget the Irish people. Forget it's our Patreon
people
members that are getting scammed.
Even a Slough getting a degree hotter for a paused Patreon.
Every week we don't post anything. That's another degree for Slough.
You're the problem, Lewis. Get off it. Get off Patreon. He says, I'm a keen quizzer and a Patreon. However, I have never actually written or hosted a quiz before. So I hope this isn't shit or too bloated. I tried to make it general. It might be a bit difficult. I included some football stuff for Liam, gimmies and TV for Jake.
Thank you very much, Lewis. We like to also try and get a sense of who our quizmaster is from the type of questions they put in.
Yes, so your enemy.
Yeah, if there's any little tells in the way they phrase stuff.
I think it's going to be very nice having a listener as the quizmaster, because he's going to, I reckon, he'll know more about the podcast than some of the actual quizmasters do.
Totally.
It might be a little bit more tailored to us.
And he might try and trip us up.
You might have stumbled on a new podcast format.
Maybe if you are listening to this and you want to write a quiz, do send them in, because we
regular quiz masters keep them coming as
everyone,
well.
Everyone send a quiz in, really. We burn through them.
Well, Lewis, thank you so much. We can't wait to jump into
your
quiz.
Where's Lewis from?
It doesn't say.
Do let us know.
We did a well.
Producer, any? No. Lewis, let us know. Let us know. Okay, so round one from Lewis. The home nations. Okay, so he's put, how well do Jake, Liam, and I think he's having a bit of a laugh here, insert London-based comedian. Is that him who's wrote that?
I like that.
That's very funny, Lewis. Fucking hell, you won a war, you got a war, boy. Let's go.
That's good. He's seen through it. He's seen through the whole thing.
He's humiliated me.
Fucking hell. Yeah. How's he done that?
How well do Liam, Jake, and insert London-based comedian know about UK life outside of the M25?
Okay. Lewis, I want another quiz from you, mate. I'm into you.
You know what, Lewis? I appreciate this because I've never lived in London. So this might be... Have you always lived in London, Cody?
Went to university in Scotland.
Edinburgh?
St Andrews. So north of Edinburgh, just north of Edinburgh. Okay. Yeah, grew up in Cyprus. So actually...
What the fuck? That's
cool. Yeah.
That's outside the M25.
It's very much outside the M25, yeah.
Wow, when did you move to the UK?
For university? Yeah, then after that, moved to London.
Do your family still live in Cyprus?
Mm-hmm.
Holy moly.
So, yeah, so actually, I am London-based.
Can I ask why you speak like you grew up in London?
English school. In Cyprus, though.
Yeah, but normally... Normally it's like, hey, I went to international school and I would like to be your friend.
Stephen Hawkins.
Yeah, that's what I based it off. International school kid did the voiceover.
Going up to Stephen Hawkins, I recognise you.
Hey man,
he did the voiceover for international schools.
But you sound like you don't have any of the international school accent at all.
No, everyone there is English in Cyprus.
Can you give me an international school voice?
Hello there, I'm from international school.
But that is more
Stephen Hawking, I think.
Yeah.
Is that because of the military base, is there? Is that why there's a lot of
English? My dad's not in the military, though.
Didn't say what's
good line of inquiry.
What's he done?
But there are military... Oh, that's why the Brits are there.
What's he done? What's he doing? Where's he at, though?
Dad's got scuba diving centre.
Scuba diving
centre? What's going on? You turned into Jay from the In-Betweeners, mate. What's going on? Yeah, Dad's got scuba diving centre. Grew up in Cyprus. International school. And apparently, actually, biggest data centre in Europe since now. So.
Definitely from Croydon. Dad's a scuba diver now. Why haven't you got the accent? Yeah, English school. Yeah. Go to... Start shagging up,
and then end up staying out there. They set up a scuba diving.
Anyway, I've got my Ferrari parked out there. So I'll let it go.
Cody Darling just making shit up.
What was Cody like? Bullshit.
Bullshit.
Absolute bullshit.
I don't reckon he's got 1.7 million followers. Right.
Okay. Are you both done?
He's worse than the politicians, ironically.
My literal life.
You can scuba dive, big time.
Big time scuba dive, yeah.
Wow. What, do you have any other mad stuff about your life you can give us?
Had malaria 3 times.
Fuck off! Sorry, you are joking me.
I'm not, no.
You had malaria 3 times?
Had malaria 3 times, yeah.
Malaria doesn't strike twice in the same place, does it? Malaria!
Yeah, malaria 3 times.
Malaria?
Well, I grew up in Kenya.
Did you? This is
yeah, no, it's not, it's true.
I thought you grew up in Cyprus.
Well, I did grow up in Cyprus, but before that I was in Kenya.
What, you can't tell now. What were you doing there?
Dad's a scuba diver.
I don't know what's real and what's not.
I don't know.
Either way, if this is your life, this is a proper good life for a pub quiz.
Yeah. Okay. We're going to do well. I think we're going to do very well. Okay. So I think it's all questions based of things outside of London. So question one in Lewis's quiz. What is the Welsh delicacy... Lava bread made from, or lava bread. The Welsh delicacy.
Lewis is definitely Welsh, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yes.
He's got a wine, his name. He's kicked off Wales. Yeah.
Lava bread.
I don't know.
The Welsh delicacy. I'm thinking rarebit, which is the cheese on toast.
Cheese on toast.
Yeah,
is,
cheese
it?
On toast. Lava
bread.
I've
heard of lava bread.
Laver bread.
Laver bread. I went to international school.
Laver bread.
What would it. Do we think it's a bread? Or do we think it's like some sort of muffin or cake? I'm more inclined to think it's not a bread.
What's it made from? So what would make sense is, like, what can you make a whole product from?
Egg.
Could be egg.
An egg or a plant of some kind. I think this is really tricky. I mean, I'm happy to go egg.
Could it be a sort of meat?
I was thinking like haggis. You know, it's like haggis is made from like sheep's innards.
Okay.
Yeah. Does it make sense? I'm just sort of thinking of like what would be a fitting answer to like Because if it is a bread, what's bread made from? It's made from...
Well, maybe lava bread is the haggis of the Welsh.
Maybe. Well, I'm thinking... The reason I brought up rarebit is because that is bread. So surely there's not two Welsh delicacies that are both based around bread.
Lava bread. I'd be up for going for something like offal.
What is offal?
It's just like the innards.
Innards.
Ooh.
I know you might not like the sound of it, but it could still be the answer.
No, I'm not.
Ugh, no, gross.
I'm not even writing.
Not
that.
That's writing disgusting. Awful.
Never say that again. Can we cut that out, please? Can we bleep where Jake said awful?
I was going, ex-girlfriend of mine.
Showing off.
I was really into watching like true crime documentaries. She never wanted to watch one. And I was like, why don't you never want to watch like Making a Murder or something? Let's watch one. She's like, why are you not watching them? She's like, maybe because I don't like murder. Maybe because I don't like murder, actually. Maybe because I don't think it's right. I'm not watching it being like, oh, yum, yum, yum.
We should do that.
So you say everything you watch is something you like. You
know? I know.
It was terrifying. I'm not going to watch Line of Duty. I'm not in the police. Okay, strange.
I'm not going to watch The Simpsons because I'm not a cartoon.
Not a yellow cartoon, and I don't live in Springfield, so why would I watch that?
And I don't like beer. I do like donuts, though, so maybe I'll watch that. I don't live in Springfield.
You know, it's talking about Homer Simpson. I don't like how he strangles his 10-year-old son. At all.
I don't like child abuse, do you?
At all.
I know he can be a little shit, but you shouldn't lay a hand on him. Oh, that's really funny. We're no closest now.
Let's put offal. Offal.
Question two: which Scottish city is known as the Granite City?
Aberdeen.
Is it?
Yes.
Brilliant answer.
Is that due to everything sort of got like a? Does it glisten? Does everything glisten?
I think it's made out of like. That's like grey stone, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh,
right. I mean, I don't think it's literally made out of granite, but it's like grey sky and grey buildings.
Oh right.
Well, actually, it must be made out of granite. Else, it wouldn't like.
Number three, which Cornish music festival originally began as a surf competition in 1981?
Boardmasters or...
Ooh, it's going to be Boardmasters.
It's like Wakefest, isn't it? Boardmasters.
Because it is... I think it's like you can walk to the beach from the festival and everyone goes surfing.
Lovely.
But I think it's been... What I've seen a video. I've never been, but...
We actually talked to Boardmasters about doing this at Boardmasters.
Yeah, we did. I think really? It's full of little shits now. I think it used to be quite... A nice well, sort of like
that's signed our fate for never fucking doing it, isn't it?
It's full of little shits.
If you're listening,
now.
That's full of little shits now. I'm not going to do it. If you are listening, you go to Boardmasters and you do like this. Do email in to tell us how it
full of
work.
Wankers like tent, like camping site walls, shit like that. You know when you see videos of that and it's kids just lobbing tents.
Yeah,
when I'm pushing over Portaloos.
When I used to go to Reading Festival because I grew up in Maidenhead, and last day of Reading Festival, everyone would burn the tents, burn each other's tents.
Really?
Yeah. It was Bedlam.
What, like, because they didn't want to carry them back, or because of like,
vandalism? No, because it was just like, this is. That's not the only solution, Cody. We're not.
We'll burn it.
We could leave it here, but I feel like we should at least burn it.
As if it just completely disappears.
Doing the festival a favour.
Puff of smoke.
No, they did.
Festival of favour.
So, doing the favour.
We've just burnt them for you.
Also, that's still in proximity to Slough, another degree. Oh, God. Slough's got to get a break. It's dangerous, these festivals.
Yeah.
Question four.
Which Manchester United legend, known as El Beetle, is Northern Ireland's most famous footballer?
El Beetle.
Sport. I'm out.
Well,
I'm out.
I didn't know it is El Beetle, but Northern Ireland's most famous footballer is George Best.
I didn't know he was Northern Irish.
Yeah.
I didn't actually.
He is Northern Irish.
Well, and he played for Manchester United.
Yeah. And... I didn't know the El Beetle reference, but.
Oh, well, I guess because he was like, wasn't he 60s, 70s?
Yeah, yeah.
And so he probably had the Beetle haircut.
No, he did.
So he's
Beetle
football. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but what's the L? El Beetle.
It's L as in like Spanish.
Yeah.
El Beetle. Don't know. Maybe, sports, not my thing.
Let's not worry about it.
We had this, Mr. Howland, this teacher, maths teacher at school, right, real sports guy, geezer. And he one lesson, he just wasn't paying attention to anything. And he sort of left the room.
He wasn't paying attention.
We were just copying stuff off the board. He wasn't present. He was something on his mind. And he kept checking his phone. Left the room for like 20 minutes. Storms in, he's like, Best, he's gone. He's gone.
Best, he's...
What? So he was Best, he's gone, boys. So girls in mid school as well, so there's girls there. He just like sat down, hands back. Nah, he's gone now. He's gone. Yeah.
It was going to be today. But
who's he getting live updates?
I don't know, because this would have been in about 2005, so it's not like it's like it's not like it was regular. I don't know who he's getting the internet, because like you weren't getting those sort of updates on your phone. But he was checking his phone.
Maybe his wife was at home that day.
He's walking. Generally, might have been.
If anything happened, ring me.
It might have been. Well, no, it couldn't have been. She was a teacher at the school. I don't know. But he's walking. He's walking in.
What was he saying for 20? Or do you think he was composing himself?
Bestie's gone. He's gone. So that's
Bestie's gone.
Don't worry about the rest of the lesson, guys.
Bestie's gone.
It was
his
remarkable.
L-beetle has
it was
gone.
Remarkable.
He retired in 20 years. It's not like you're watching him. Yeah.
Georgie
that's
boy.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Really funny. Just when I think you run out of stories.
That's the beauty of the pub quiz pod. You never know what's going to come up, mate.
I know, it just jogs your memory. Oh, that's brilliant. Question five from the first round. Last question of the first round. Which Channel Island is famous for its breed of dairy cattle producing creamy, high-protein milk found in gold-topped bottles?
Jersey.
Oh, of course,
Jersey
yeah.
Gold.
How do we think we've done on that round?
I think we've got 4 out of 5.
I think we've got 4, which is awful.
We've all been quite confident, haven't we?
It's that top one.
It's
very confident on the others. Is it one of them that's worth doing the answers in reverse order? Or
if you can manage it on
I might see it, but... You got
yeah.
Oh, no, I've managed to avoid it. I've not seen it. Okay, so number five, the Channel Island famous for its dairy cattle is Jersey.
Get in.
Little fact here, 18% more protein and 20% more calcium than standard milk.
Okay. Is this sponsored by
We're happy to. Yeah.
We take anything now.
Yeah. Well, Boardmasters aren't coming for you.
The United legend known as El Beetle, it is Bestie.
These are great questions, by the way.
There we go. You know what? You know what I really appreciate is when there's a little bit of extra information with the answer. We were wondering, what does El Beetle mean? Didn't know. In brackets here, he was called El Beetle due to his mop top and good looks mirroring those of a Liverpudlian chap. We did sort of say that ourselves.
We got there in the end.
It's the L element.
It's the L element that's actually the question mark there.
Cornish Music Festival, which began as a surf competition, is, of course, Boardmasters. That's 3 for 3. Music acts were only added in 2005, set to be... Same year Bestie died. Set to be headlined by Kasabian and Fatboy Slim in 2026. The Granite City in Scotland is Aberdeen,
yes,
as most of its buildings are constructed from locally quarried grey granite.
Well done, Cody. That's brilliant.
This is nearly a great round. Let's see.
It could be 5 out of 5.
What is lava bread made from? It is made from seaweed.
Okay.
Good, actually. We were thinking outside the box.
Yes. Yeah. It says, AKA the Welshman's caviar, is finely chopped and fried, often seen as part of a full Welsh breakfast.
Fine. I mean, sometimes it's nice when you know you were never going to get it. Round two is called... Classic quiz calculations.
Oh dear.
So, simple maths, he's written. Simple maths using numbers every Queen quizzer should know. Calculator optional.
Oh.
He's allowing us to use a calculator.
Okay.
Should we not?
Okay.
Well, let's see what they are.
Okay,
let's see what they are. The number of time zones in Russia. You must have lived in one of them.
Oh. I think it's 11.
You do?
Yeah.
Multiplied by the number of time zones in China.
Well, what China is about... I don't want to embarrass myself here. I would say maybe a fifth of the length of Russia, or maybe a third.
I might sound like a thicky dum dum, but did they?
I
thought they went to one time.
I think this as well. I'm so glad you said that.
Okay,
I think they used to be more.
Or were they on one when they were really communist? Now they're still quite communist. They were on more.
I think they went to one.
But
that sounds good. This sounds like a
trick
question.
Give it a go. Question number two: the year the Premier League was formed minus the number of Premier League goals scored by Alan Shearer. That is fucking hard.
I do know it.
You know it?
Yeah. So it was formed in 1992. And what is it? Minus.
Mm-hmm.
He scored 260.
Wow. Seriously, you know that?
That's amazing.
Sure. He is the top scorer. It's not like... I know it sounds a bit sort of like great knowledge, but I think any football fans, I think, would be like, oh, that's...
Do you want to do the maths on that?
I just don't want to take too much credit. I'm not sort of bragging.
1,900, sort of are, but 1,000...
Is it minus? Definitely minus.
Yeah.
1,9...
Neither me or Cody are having a crack at this. It's just this. It's just you doing the maths here.
1,732.
Question three. The end of World War One. You'll know this one. 1918, right?
Yeah.
Plus the number of paintings Van Gogh sold when he was alive.
One.
He only sold one?
One.
Lovely.
You know what, though? That answer's making me worried about the first one. Would he do one twice?
Oh, I thought he sold no paintings during his life.
I believe he sold one for 400 francs.
Oh, well, in that case, it's got to be, if you know that well.
Question number four. The number of gifts given in the song 12 Days of Christmas divided by the number of people featured in the painting of the Last Supper. Now, I know this from quizzes.
Yeah, so 1 + 2 + 3 + 4. No.
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 Because on the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me a partridge on a pear tree. But on the second day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 2 tough loves and, again, a partridge on a pear tree.
Oh,
so it gets bigger and bigger and bigger.
One,
interesting. Until you get
six.
Yeah.
Sure that is what this questioner means, or do you think they?
They wouldn't just say the number of gifts given in the 12 days of Christmas.
You know
and
what?
12.
You know what I think this could be.
No, but it's not. So the first yeah. partridge in a pear tree is one, and then 2 turtle doves is 3,
yeah.
and then 3 French hens or whatever it is, 6. Yeah. I think it's
that's
that
what
way
I'm
around.
Thinking, yeah.
I don't think they're. Adding because the partridge in the pear tree is still the same partridge in a pear tree.
No, it's not. It's not. Yeah. It's really not. Oh, should we work it out for both?
Can I just say what I think might happen here is I actually think your logic's right because it goes on the second day and then it rears it all off.
Yeah.
And he's giving it again, but I've got a feeling this could be a situation. I might be wrong. I might not be giving Lewis enough credit here.
I think we could get a right answer
that is different to what he's wrote.
I think we're thinking Lewis isn't up to scratch, and
I would
because Lewis is in a tricky situation here.
Because he's not
because if he has gone by
yeah.
just like the 12 days of Christmas
yeah.
then he's thick.
If it's twelve, then he's out.
If his answer is wrong, literally wrong.
Yeah.
But I'm concerned. He's listening.
If he has done it the way I think,
yeah.
But you guys don't think he is, then you guys still think he's thick.
But there's a mid ground. There's 3 possible ways he's done it. He's either gone 12, and if he's done that, he's wrong. He's either done 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah.
That's a mid-ground.
Yeah.
Or there's your version.
Yeah, which is the total number. So even on the 12th day, I'm getting all of those gifts again.
I'm just trying to work out if I ask that question, and again, this might be me being a thick bastard, I wouldn't be adding the partridge in a pear tree each day.
Mm.
I wouldn't.
Can
be
I
doing
just
that.
Can I just
and
say
I,
to you?
I worry about what Lewis.
You are completely out of your depth, mate.
Okay.
Quiz wise, you're completely out of your depth. If you're not adding every single, what are you doing?
Okay.
What's the point in asking the question?
I think you're right, Jake, but I think Lewis might have done what we were thinking.
Okay.
Let's work out both answers and then let's pick one to go with. So 364. So how many people, we need to divide it by the number of people in the Last Supper. So that's tricky in itself. Is it 12?
No.
Oh, 13, isn't it? Including Jesus.
Oh, in Jesus,
12 disciples plus 13. Jesus.
This will help us. It'd be something quite easily divisible by 13. So actually, I think it could. So that will help us. It won't be something with a remainder.
Fucking
so
hell,
let's work out
good.
Both.
Yeah, whichever one divides by 13.
Yours might add up to 130.
I don't know what that means, mate.
Well, your way of adding it up, 1, add 3, if it's adding
it's,
on
it's 364.
I'm doing that.
It's 364 is what I'm doing.
Okay, well, let's see what mine is.
Is that divisible by 13?
Don't know.
Oh, you already know it's 360.
I know that the total amount of presents, if you were to give the presents every day, would be 364.
Plus minus 1.
364 divided by 13 comes to a cool 28.
I think that sounds pretty good. But then if Cody's comes in, it's sort of like...
Around number, then we're fucked. Then we're absolutely fucked.
Yours is a round number, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm actually terrified that yours is going to come out as a round number now.
Six.
Oh, fucking hell.
I actually think your logic is correct, because each day, on the first day, they gave him...
Partridge in a pear tree.
Partridge in a pear tree. Second day...
2 turtle doves.
And a partridge in a pear tree.
Yeah.
Just gives it again.
Cody's come all the way from the other side of London for this, and we're going with my answer, not his. Is that all right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Fair. Yeah, all right, fair enough. And finally, the number of keys on a standard piano divided by the meaning of life according to Douglas Adams plus the atomic number of helium.
Okay, 42, Douglas Adams.
Hang on, let's start from the beginning. Yeah. So number of keys on a piano is 88.
Can I say this might be wrong? I thought it was 112.
It's definitely 64 keys on a squares on a chessboard. That's locked. No, it is 88. It's 88. Okay. Divided by the meaning of life, which is what?
42.
It's 84.
Okay, so that's
the brackets
and the question.
Oh yeah, that's brilliant.
Bid
mass. Do you want to come up with it? So we're thinking 88 or 84.
Hang on. Pay attention to the brackets.
What do you mean?
The
meaning of life according to...
The meaning of... So, divided by...
So sorry, mate.
Hang on. Well, the producer didn't jump in and say,
You've definitely not been fed this.
What's happened here is, the producer has said, pay attention to the brackets, and Liam's done that, but doesn't really know what that means.
I was hoping I could just say that line and everyone go, ah.
I think what we're realising is we're looking at the number of keys of a standard piano, right, which we think is 84.
Divided by, and then there's brackets.
So Bodmas, you've got to do what's in the brackets first.
Yeah.
So 84 divided by the meaning of life, which is 42.
So that's 2.
Plus the atomic number of helium. What's the atomic number of helium?
Fuck, that is hard. Is it 1?
No, that's hydrogen. I think it might be 2. I think it's like the next lightest, isn't it? I think it's 2. So 88 divided by 44
is 2.
Gets us to 2. So we've got the number of keys on a standard piano, which I think is 88, divided by, and this is a separate sum happening here.
Okay.
The meaning of life plus the atomic number of helium.
So that comes to 44.
Which would come to 44. We divide 88 by 44. Yeah. We would get 2.
You've really come into your own.
This is colossal.
To your own. That's brilliant.
That was really good.
So, number of time zones is China. We're 11.
Oh, this is where we want.
You know what I love, Lewis? I love about this is that every question requires multiple layers of answering. Yeah. And
really good.
And I think it's so interesting, Lewis.
Really good.
Get down your local pub and get a slot.
Yeah. Get a slot. The number of time zones in Russia is 11. You times it by the number of time zones in China. Spot on. There's one time zone in China.
Really?
Mm. And you get 11. And he's just put, for a bit of fun, the Canadian dollar has 11 sides. And I don't know why he said that.
I don't know why he said that.
I thought you were going over the answers we've given. You're doing the real answers.
Yeah.
The number of times in Russia was 11. This is it. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Celebrate.
You probably think that because we were getting them so bloody right, Cody.
Yes, that's brilliant.
If we could cut Cody's reaction and put it about 10 seconds
yeah,
earlier.
Yeah, that's brilliant.
It would be like really
that's
in the
amazing.
Moment.
That's amazing.
Right, number two. The year the Premier League was formed, you thought it was formed in 92. It was. Goals by Alan Shearer, you thought 260, it was. The final answer should have been 1,732, and it was.
Yes, oh my God.
Which is the year George Washington was born. I like these extra facts, Lewis, they're sort of a bit random.
Extra facts are irrelevant.
Like, we can all just give a fact about anything. I just think it's relentless at the moment. It's like, so 1992, Premier League, brilliant. Yeah. 2,060 goals, Alan Shearer, brilliant. 1,732, brilliant. That's where George Washington was born, brilliant. George Washington, first president of America, brilliant. The 13 stripes on the bloody American flag, brilliant. All right, 13's also an unlucky number. Just enough. Enough, mate. Fucking hell. End of World War II plus a painting Van Gogh saw when he was alive. We've got it wrong because we thought he was talking about World War One. I completely misread it.
And we know
what World War II was.
Oh man!
Totally on me. I put 1918 and I plus one.
That
should be a 5 out of 5. That is completely on me.
Oh my god.
Try not to be.
No, it's all right.
No,
you're
that
going
is on me.
Me. Just know that we could have got that though. No. We can't.
This would have been a 5 out of 5.
Yeah.
Read the question. RTQ. Read the question.
Number.
What was the fact as well?
I know, but you get it wrong. 1946. No one wants this. Also, the year the bikini was invented.
Oh, that would have been fun as well.
Imagine
if we'd got that right, and then we got the bikini fact.
And the bikini was invented.
That'd have been brilliant.
Bikini was invented in 1946. Let's unpack that for a second.
Yeah.
What's going on after that? Is that, what do we think? That's the mass trauma of the world. World War II. Someone's thought.
Let's have a bit of fun.
Yeah. That's what it is, isn't it?
It really is.
That's what it
Let's let loose. We don't need to be sort of.
Yeah. Get the camo off. And get a bikini on. Yeah.
Get that off and get that on.
Yeah. It is that, isn't it?
Get the camo off and get
yeah. But also, I guess the women wouldn't be wearing the camo. They'd have been in the factories and all that. Get those overalls off. Get those on.
Get those dirty overalls off and get that on.
Those off, these on.
Your tarp.
Yes. Stop working. Get your fucking wangers out.
We're back now. We're take over. We're back now. You can get back over there. But what have you been doing?
You had that in the wrong setting.
Right.
I didn't kill those fucking Germans to see you in a one piece, did I? I've not been mowing down crowds to keep those in.
I need someone to get me over this PTSD. Bloody hell.
Fucking hell.
I've not been mowing down crowds
to keep those hidden. Oh, God. Men of the past were awful, weren't they, saying these things? It's men of the past that said these things as well. It's awful. That is awful. Oh, God. Right, but we got it wrong. We got it wrong. Oh, God.
That was my favourite moment ever of this
Came
podcast.
Came back to see a couple of Vera Lynn's. Fucking hell. Let's do it.
Horrific.
That is shocking. The men of the past are awful.
Why were they saying this stuff?
Why
like
were
that?
They saying that stuff?
It's wrong.
That was terrible. They were saying that stuff.
What's number four?
Right, so the number of gifts was 364.
So hang on. Well, whoa. Done.
Yeah.
So what? That's what you said.
Yeah.
Bit of credit to Lewis here.
Yeah. Fuck's we said 364 and it was 364.
So he did a little bit of a trick question there.
No, you just thought he was thicker than he is. You thought he was thicker than he is.
Yeah, well done, Lewis. Because he's not a real quiz master, but he's
stop
got...
saying that. He's written a quiz.
Yeah, he's got what it takes, is what I'm saying. He's not even called himself a quiz master.
13. So, yeah, 364, we were correct.
Well done.
He was correct. It was 13 people in the Last Supper, and it was indeed, the answer was 28.
Well done, Jake. That is good, that.
And also, the Arabic alphabet has 28 letters, so...
They are getting a bit tiring. They're getting a little tiring.
What is he trying
admit.
To do? What is he
with
trying to do? What are you trying to do with them? Number of keys on a standard piano divided by the meaning of life according to Douglas Adams plus the atomic number. The brackets are important because it was indeed 88 keys on a piano.
Well,
then
well
we need to divide
done.
It by a separate sum, which is 42 plus 2, and you get 2.
Well done. So yeah. We would have got 5 out of 5 were it not
yeah.
for World War
Jake, II. I don't know how to feel about you here because you've got us 2 correct answers, I think, with them last 2.
Yeah.
But then you've cost us a 5 out of 5 by misreading a question.
I know, I'm sorry. But fun fact about the number 2, that's the number of pub quiz pod hosts that there are.
Is that what he's actually
what he's written down, yeah. That's what he's written down.
That's nice.
Cody, we have a break from the quiz. But what were you doing before you had 1.7 million followers?
Well, I was at the BBC. I was their in-house comedy writer.
Oh.
Doing satire.
Oh, that was you, was it?
That was me. Yeah, I was the one.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
My family, that was him. Dad's Army, he did that one as well.
Yeah.
What sort of stuff were you writing?
Well, it's like radio, basically. News quiz, Dead Ringers, the now defunct Now Show. I wrote on the final episode of the Now Show. May have something to do with me. And then, yeah, basically started doing
and
stuff.
And now you thought, I'll fuck that off. I'm going to engage 1.7 million. Do you hate it or like it when I keep talking about 1.7 million followers?
I mean, it's a sort of impossible number, really.
It's
I don't
a fucking
really,
mad number.
I don't really understand. I mean, it's nice that so many people sort of like watch my stuff.
What have you done 1.7 million times?
Blinked.
That's brilliant.
With like the sort of political explanation videos, did you like start that with like that as the vision? I'll build a page
no.
of this. Or
no, not at all.
Did
you
stumble
across I started doing when I left the BBC. I started doing this character whose girlfriend had broken up with him, and he hadn't realised. And I thought it was hilarious, but no one else watched it. No, everyone hated it. And then I accidentally, it was like the local elections, and I walked past a polling station, and I was like, I just did a video. I was like, a polling station is the opposite of a lolling station. It's terrible, but it got like it got like 1200 views, which again for anyone who does internet stuff is terrible, but it was like 5 times the amount I was getting, and I was like, oh, maybe I'll do politics stuff. And then I debased myself and I did a TikTok dance video with a point of view that was like, you've just voted in the local elections with a club banger. I was wearing my girlfriend's tank top and some dark glasses.
Whoa.
And that went viral, and then so that's how I sort of ended up doing the politics stuff. But the thicky dum dum thing, genuinely, I was doing that like way before it was successful. I just did it in my living room, and then suddenly I just went outside, and I changed the angle every time I spoke.
Yes,
and that's enough
clever.
to trick the dopamine receptors in our brain that I'm doing something original and fun. I'm not so impartial anymore. I'm definitely probably more lefty, lefty nutter. But
you're happy to say that on the pod.
Happy to say that on the pod.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think I'm crazy lefty. I think I'm just talking sense. But
yeah.
Apparently, lots of people think I'm crazy lefty. Going from BBC impartiality training to then doing like satire online, you sort of actually I see how it works, because people you kind of get quite a broad audience quite quickly because you're sort of not upsetting, but you're appealing to and upsetting a massive group of people at the same time.
Give me the goss on BBC impartiality training.
So all it is, it's actually not as crazy as you think. All it is, if you make fun of Labour, you've got to make fun of Tories.
Yeah.
If you make fun of this person, you've got to make fun of that person. It's not actually, they don't say you can't make fun of them or you can't be rude about them. There's no major gossip on impartiality. They just get scared about
upsetting
people.
It just seems that like everyone wants to bash the BBC for being biased in this sense, biased in that sense. I think it's, this is not a fun thing to say, but I just do really feel it's quite cool that we have something that is genuinely striving to be impartial rather than,
exactly.
What's the alternative? GB News that openly will just go after one agenda.
What's TikTok's laws of it? Because you've been banned from TikTok
multiple
times.
All the time.
What's
crazy? Well, I think actually what happens on TikTok is I'll do a video that people don't like, or enough people that see it don't like, and then they report it. And I think that means that TikTok's like robotic structure means it just bans it. However, I've appealed many things and they haven't approved it. So that, I think then it's checked by human beings. But TikTok's not a fucking news site. No. It's just like, it is, even though all of the content I make is like, I get fucking so concerned when people are like, you're my only source of news. And that's really, really worrying.
Fucking hell, because
not only I shouldn't be, also like these apps you're consuming don't really provide you with the news, because if it's, you know, includes, like, I have to temper my language into not like swearing, but like using certain words or whatever, and then because you're like, well, the algorithm will ban it or whatever, and then suddenly you're swaying towards
this,
you know,
stuff
away from
instead
the truth.
Of saying died, you've
yeah, exactly,
sex, it's segs and stuff like that.
Yeah, yes, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
We've got it here as well that you can also read and write. There's a book.
I can read and write.
There's a book. It's not just short form content.
Absolutely, it's the longest form content
that there is.
That there is. A book.
What's tell us about the book?
So the book is called "The State of This: A Thicky Thicky Dum Dum's Guide to British Politics." I asked my followers what question they had about British politics, and I have sought to answer them. So things like, why is the rent always going up? Why is the energy? Why are our energy bills so high? Why did we Brexit? You know, who pays for our politicians? Questions like that. In a funny and accessible way.
You got one? Because I've got one very quickly.
Go for it.
Why? What would be so hard about rejoining the EU?
Real answer is basically, for as long as Nigel Farage is around, we're not rejoining the EU.
Mm.
Because no EU commissioner or whatever is going to negotiate, go through the years of negotiating a new deal if they think Farage can come in and just tear it up.
Mm. You really think it's just completely based on that one personality?
Yeah, for as long as Reform UK are like a, you know, a feasible electoral threat, the EU aren't going to bother.
Where did your like interest in politics start? Have you always sort of had a good broad knowledge of it, or is it something you've looked into more since doing the content? Like with this book, for instance.
Well, the book. So I've always sort of been interested in politics because I mean. My background in comedy was very much like topical comedy. So I sort of had to be engaged in the news and politics in order to like the targets were always politicians. But then it's sort of like, you just sort of want to know why things are shit. Mm. And actually, when I was writing the book, you realise that actually the reason things are shit is because politicians have actively made it so. It's not like, you know, whenever you go abroad, you're like, this country, like wherever that country might be, like this is a lot better than the UK, or like this thing works better. And it's not saying that there are like countries in the world that have got it all right, but you're like, actually so many things kind of compound in this country to make it really, really expensive, really, really shit. And those are based on human decisions that have been made since about 1980, since Thatcher came
in. And indecision as well.
And indecision. And, you know, politicians like to try and convince you that, you know, like the cost of living crisis is a crisis completely out of their control. But it's not. It's completely engineered by them because it's a product of private companies running our entire economy for profit. And so they take over the NHS, they take over our water companies, they take over our energy companies, and they run it for the interest of the shareholders. That is a situation that has been allowed to happen by our elected politicians, many of whom financially benefited from it. And I think, you know, they really work very hard to be like, things are shit right now, but, you know, we're trying to get a handle on it. They're not. They're not trying to get a handle on it. It's their fault, and we should hold them responsible.
Mm.
Thank you.
Where can people find your socials? And your book?
So, my book...
And your podcast.
So
and your Radio 4 show.
So
and your live show.
All of those things can be found via my social media profile. I'm Mr. Cody Dahler on all of it. My book is being released on the 5th of November. Remember. And yep, I've got a podcast, The Truth in My Opinion. Jake's been on it. Liam, you must come on it.
I'd love to.
Basically, I put comedians in charge of the news, ask them to bring 4 news stories that they think we should all be talking about. It's a good laugh.
It's a good laugh.
Yeah. Was he good?
He was very good.
Yeah,
he was very good.
No, I knew you would be.
Bigging you up, mate.
Just checking. Right, so round 3. Quizception, a quiz round about quiz shows in the style of a quiz show.
Okay.
Come on, Jake. You're going to be great at this as a man who's written on the chase. If you didn't know,
never bangs on about it.
Okay, so question 1. This long-running American quiz show is now hosted by one of its most successful contestants following the tragic passing of Alex Trebek in 2020.
Jeopardy.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, let's go.
Wow.
Next.
Next.
Is there a bonus fact?
Maybe when we do the answers. Maybe okay. when we do the answers.
Oh, yes, of course.
Question two, solve, and then this is just a string of letters in capitals. D T W O U C N N O. About quiz shows. Is that a.
D T
W O U C N N O. Is it like a title of a quiz show?
It must be something like that. Do the winners of U C N N O D T.
So, what do we think? This is a word with the letters that we're trying to rearrange, or do you think each letter stands for a word?
Oh, do you think it's an anagram?
Potentially.
Yeah.
Let's come back to it. Okay. Question three.
Number three. Fingers on buzzers, please. Founded in 1962 and based on the American format College Bowl, with a title as an exhortation to the contestants' demographic, its most famous visual trope involves a split screen effect. That suggests teams are sat vertically atop one another.
Oh.
For one point, which show features the music and picture rounds as its only respite from a series of interrupted starters? It's a very long question.
Lewis, a bit of advice, mate. Fucking trim it down, brother. Trim it down. University Challenge.
Yeah. University Challenge.
But I think, to be fair to him, he's wrote it like a University Challenge question, hasn't he?
Oh, yes, he has.
Oh, God, he's every time I want to just bloody...
He's really good.
I'll apologise. It's a bit annoying that University Challenge is based on an American show. Didn't realise that.
Mm. What did they call it? College Bowl.
Okay.
A prestigious society is formed where only 5 in every 500 applicants are allowed to join. What is the name of this society?
Mensa?
Oh, that's quite good.
5 in every...
Prestigious society is formed...
About quiz shows.
A prestigious society is formed where only 5 in every 500 applicants are allowed to join. What is the name of the society?
It's not like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire or something.
I just thought that because you've sort of... Is it, are you thinking of a bit where you've got to get like fastest fingers to get in there?
No, I was just thinking people that won it.
It's nonsense.
5 in every 500. 1% club, that's 100 people that get... I don't know.
Oh! That's quite... That 1% club, that's quite good.
Maybe it's...
Is that a quiz?
But it is. But I don't think there's 500 people in the audience.
A prestigious society is formed only 5 in every 500 applicants.
Yeah, it's a club. It's a club.
Yeah.
It must be the 1% club, society. It must be the 1% club.
That's good. I like that.
Number 5 is finish the sequence and give the connection. So, Women Talking About Cars, 2016. Have I Got News For You, 2014. Hearsay, 2008. Finish the sequence and give the connection.
Wow. It's really wrapped up this final round.
Yeah. And give the connection. Women Talking About Cars, that was in 2016. Have I Got News For You, 2014. Hearsay, 2008. Shows that featured Boris Johnson.
Oh! What's Hearsay got to do with that? Has he been in Hearsay?
I don't know. Hearsay, I think, was another show in 2008 when he would have been a journalist, so maybe it was like a chat about stuff going on. Yeah, I think Boris Johnson is...
Yeah, but we need to finish the sequence, so it's not just...
Oh, I don't know then. No fucking idea.
There's another thing before that.
This is a really tough round, guys.
Unless there was there another sort of quite well-known show that he...
Well, he might have done... He did Have a Good Interview twice.
Women Talking About Cars?
I don't know.
What is that? That's hard.
I'm tempted to go Boris Johnson and... Have a Good News For You and 2006.
We're going to go back to DT. I don't know what that is.
It's either an anagram or it stands for something.
So anagrams are always good, apparently, if you do them in a circle.
Yeah.
So I'll have a go, but I just don't think it is an anagram. You just said solve these letters.
Just solve them in the letters.
Countdown. Wow. It was
well done.
That was your circle.
Yeah, but that's just you.
Done.
Genuinely, that's just you being brilliant.
Well done.
You being brilliant. Could be a 5 out of 5.
Mate, that's lovely.
You're confident with Boris Johnson? You're that confident?
No, I'm not. I'm never confident with Boris Johnson.
Let's find out the answer, shall we? Last chance for a 5 out of 5. It Woo! Feels like we should have had a 5 out of 5 today. Mm. The long-running American quiz show. It is Jeopardy.
Get in.
Well done.
And in keeping, we've got a little fact. Now hosted by Ken Jennings, who won £4.5 million on the show. That's mad that he went on it and then...
Mm.
Hosted it. Solve the letters. It's Countdown. Well the very done. First programme to air on Channel 4.
Huge.
No way.
That is a nice little fact.
That is. You see, the reason that's a good fact is because that bonus fact is related to
yes,
the answer.
Yes, that's how you do bonus facts.
That's why it's good.
The fingers on buzzers was University Challenge.
Come on. 3 out of 3. Here we go.
Three. Here we go. Number four. We weren't sure about this. The prestigious society formed where 5 in every 500 applicants are allowed to join. What's the name of the society? It is the 1% Club.
Oh, yes. Wow.
Its host Lee Mack holds the Guinness World Record for the most darts number twos in 1 minute.
Very good fact.
Yeah, he's got he's going a little bit off. What is about?
Off there.
What does that mean?
Don't know. What's number five?
So finish the sequence and give the connection. Women talking about cars, 2016. Have I got news for you, 2014. Hearsay, 2008. We surely said it's things Johnson. That Boris Johnson has gone on.
Is it?
The connection is.
Is it?
Only Connect 2000. So the next answer is Only Connect 2008. And this is shows hosted by Victoria Corin Mitchell.
It was about the host.
In reverse order. In reverse order.
Fuck, audio.
The show originally featured Greek letters instead of Egyptian hieroglyphs.
Four out of... Story of the fucking... story of the night, really.
That's very frustrating.
As they were deemed to be too pretentious and elitist. Spoke right over Lewis's fat man, guys. That's really upsetting for Lewis.
Lewis, can we just have a pint? Because the facts are relentless. So, what's okay. Total score?
So, it's a four. We've been consistent, if anything.
Four in every single one. Mm. Mate, that is a brilliant total score. 12 out of 15.
Should have been 13.
Do you feel good about that?
I feel great. I feel good. That feels good. I'm not sure, like, how much I contributed.
Are you joking? Well, what? First of all, what do you think of Lewis's quiz? We'll give him a rating.
I like Lewis's quiz. I thought that was really good.
Give him a rating.
Out of 10?
Just one rating, yeah.
I think that's a solid 8. I think I'd have liked in music round. I know I said at the start that I'm not very good at music.
We need to bear in mind Lewis is this is his first sort of dip first, into the world. Into...
Bump it to a 9. Bump it to a 9,
Lewis. This
me.
Is really,
really good.
Good.
Really
good
very, stuff. Very good.
Would you like another quiz from Lewis?
Yeah, absolutely in a heartbeat.
I really like that, Lewis.
Who's been the best out of three of us?
Come on, let's do it. You know what? It's difficult with
I've
you
let,
because
the
you,
side
no
down.
No no because you've had the most correct answers. I think. You carried us with a few of them questions, but then you made
you misread.
Monumental error. Yeah. That's a monumental.
Do you think my errors? It's up to you. I don't know.
I think on balance, I think you've really added to.
Yeah,
two.
I think it's still you. I think it's still
Cheers,
you.
God.
I think you know like what it is. You know what it is. You got a hat trick and you scored an own goal at the end.
Ah,
it's
that's
like,
right.
Still give it you.
Still come away.
Still
the
give
victor.
It
you. Loves football. Straight, by the way, this guy. let me make sure everyone knows I'm straight. What you've done, just if anyone else who is also straight is listening, is you've scored 3 goals, but you've scored an own goal.
And also, if you're in any doubt of what quizzer of a quiz is, it's like man of match.
Cody Darla, this has been one of the most interesting conversations I've ever had, let alone the quiz. Yeah.
Wow. Thank you.
Well, I just talked to him all day. So so thank you so much for coming. But come back again.
I would love to. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. Cody Darla. And also, if you want to see, we normally say where you can see Lewis's quiz. We will shout out Lewis if and when he gets a pub going for one of his quizzes.
Yeah.
But for now, goodbye. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Well done,